We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
As we conclude our mini-series on For This Cause, again, let me just catch people up that aren't aware. This is Vision Sunday. We are going to be talking a bunch of strategy, but honestly, we've got to land the plane. We've been in the middle of a series, and how many people have been enjoying this refocus about what's most important? And so as we've been going through this For This Cause series, maybe if it's your first time joining us online, welcome all the online churchers. We love you. And jealous that you're still in your PJs, but man, there's something about being in the house of God. Can we admit, like, it was worth getting up for today? It was worth getting dressed up. It's Vision Sunday, so I dress up a little bit more, right? I don't know. It's not my usual attire, but I'll pull it off. Now listen, as we were digging through the scripture, this is where this mini-series came from. Pontius Pilate was talking to Jesus right before the crucifixion. And this would be one of those moments where we see that Pontius Pilate, he doesn't want to crucify Jesus. In fact, he's trying to push this back and he's trying to release him. Remember, we know that he ends up offering to the people, would you rather Barabbas, the true terrorist and murderer, released, or would you rather Jesus? And so as he's talking through this thing with Jesus, Jesus explains to him that his kingdom isn't of this world, right? We've talked about this the last few weeks. And then Pontius Pilate says, so you are a king then. And this is what Jesus says. He goes on to say this, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now, you know what's interesting is Jesus, we know that in his lifetime, he was actually an apprentice and he became a carpenter because his father was, and he was learning the family business. But he didn't say, for this cause I came so that I could build people's tables. He didn't say, for this cause I came so that I could help build out the city and expand the walls. He didn't say, for this cause I came so that I could take over the family business. What he did was not who he was and what it was for. And it's important for you people, all of us, yeah, you people. No, it's important for the people to understand, no matter how many years you've put into doing what you do, that's not what you're about. It's what allows you to do the thing God's called you to do. You may be a lawyer, but actually you're a son or a daughter of the king first. You may be a doctor, but actually you're about your father's business first. You may have put all the time, the energy, the effort that God has blessed to get you where you are, but for this cause you were born, for this cause you came, for this reason I exist, it's to give glory to God, and it's actually to testify of the truth, right? We got to bear witness to the truth. Whew, I wish I could moonwalk. It would have just happened there. But if you're taking notes, number one, we were born to bear witness. You were born not to carry on the family business unless you're talking about your father's business. You may carry on the father's business. You may be an entrepreneur and you might make five different businesses. But if that's your legacy, then you've missed it. That should be fueling the legacy God has intended for your life. Right? We don't live for money. Money allows us to live. We don't live for success when it comes to the earthly things. The Bible says that, you know, we build up treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy. But actually, we want to be setting our focus, setting our gaze, setting our rewards on heaven where it will not rust or fade. Are you getting this? We were born to bear witness. Again, I was born for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. We're called to bear witness by being his witness. We don't just bear witness by showing up to church. We bear witness by speaking of the truth. We bear witness by saying the things we've seen, the things we've experienced, who God is, not just in a vague way, but who he is to us. So we are witnesses of a God and what he's done in our world, what he's done in our life. And think about it, the most powerful stories we remember that stir our faith are regular people's lives radically changed by God's goodness. Those are the stories. We have the Symphony of Thanksgiving. We have testimony time, and people come up and they testify to God's goodness and the truth and what he's done in their life. And we go, wow, we applaud, right? We're applauding their faithfulness to walk through that, but we're applauding the God that brought it on, right? And those are the things we remember. Oftentimes when I'm thinking about the breakthrough I need, I remember his goodness to someone else, so it gives me the faith to keep believing for my breakthrough. It's because someone was bearing witness to who God is and what he's done in their life that I'm stirred to believe too. And so what are we testifying of? That's the focus. Oh yeah, I come to bear witness. I'm going to testify of what? Who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Son of God. Look it, there's only one road to heaven and there's 100 million roads to hell. We're here to point out the one road. We're here to say it's right here. It's this one. You know, I want one of those progressive signs. But it just says, like, heaven this way. No? Okay. We're here to testify the Messiah. What he did. What did he do? Because that's what we're supposed to testify, right? What he did. The fact that he lived a perfect life and overcame our sin through the cross. We're here to testify what he offers. Salvation by grace through faith. We have a lot to testify. And a lot of people say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but they can't explain what that means. So for me to encourage you to understand your faith is a benefit to the kingdom and to your neighbor. Because I never want to be in a place where someone finally asks me the question that I should have actually had an answer to, but then I realize I need an answer. I do believe that the Holy Spirit will drop it in your heart. If you're living this pursuit, God, I want to know you. I want to speak for you. I want to live for you. I believe he'll bring the words to you, just as the Bible says. But I also think it's a great practice to actually sit down and write my story that God has given me about his goodness in my life, so that when somebody asks me, I can actually go, oh, I've thought through this before. I know why I walked away from sin. I know why I said, oh, no, devil, not today. I know these things because I've taken the time to figure it out. We're here to testify of who Jesus is, what God has done in our life, and how our lives have been changed. You know, I always go back to this when it comes to testifying. You know, John 3:16, for so God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the good news. The good news is he died so we wouldn't have to. The grave couldn't hold him, so our death won't hold us. And that eternity is waiting, and those that believe in him and that trust in him, they have an eternity worth waiting for. Wow. It's for this cause I was born. You know, I remember trying to fight being a pastor. I never wanted to do it. Isn't that funny how God does that? Oh, like, oh, you don't have to. I'm just kidding. You're going to do it. Oh, no, you know, let your feelings rule you. I'll get you. You know, being raised by pastors, I was able to see a lot of the hard stuff, the stuff that goes unspoken, the betrayals, the struggles, all the stress and the strain on the family. And so I was like, God, I love you, but peace. Like, I'm gonna build my own sandcastle over here, right? I'm gonna do what I wanna do, and I'll just love you from a distance. Woo! But when God has a cause on your life, it doesn't matter how far you run like Jonah, he's going to bring you right back, and you're going to have to face that over and over and over again until you finally say, uncle. And know what? When I finally submitted to God and the cause on my life, everything fit like a glove. Everything started to go the way it should go. Doesn't mean it was easy, but I knew I was working the right direction. And I know that God has a purpose and a call for your life, and it probably isn't to be a pastor. You're welcome. But whatever he's called you to, stop running from it and say, for this cause, God, I know that you have called me to live in this time, in this season, to make an effect for you, not just to build a sandcastle for me. Yes? We were born to bear witness to the truth. As a church, we are called to be a city on a hill whose light can be seen for miles. The vision of this house is to be that city on a hill. You know what really grinds my gears, church? What really grinds my gears is when I hear somebody go, this is an amazing church. I never knew you were here. How long have you been here? What, 35 years in the community? What? I never knew. I'm like, oh, really? I'm glad you found us, but for real? Church, let's be known. Let's stop hiding our light under a basket. Let's start talking about God's goodness and about where he's been feeding us. Let's continue to say, for this cause I was born. I'm going to do what I can to make sure that the city on the hill is not hidden. Hello? And so we need to never shrink back from the truth, regardless of cultural trends. And I don't have a lot of time, and I don't know how I'm going to finish this message, but it's all going to happen in Jesus' name. But I'll tell you right now, there's this, I just got to go there, church. There's this concept where believers nowadays think there's a difference to the faith nowadays. What do I mean? They go, well, for Christians in this century, sin is okay. For Christians in this century, you know, a little bit of messing around or premarital sex is kind of just a given. No, it's still called sin. You know, well, in this century, we don't really have to bring God his tithes and offering. That's an option. No, it's called theft. In this century, God didn't really mean what he said. He's not that detailed. Do you want to go back and read how detailed he was about building the temple? Our God isn't like a you almost made it cool. That's what grace has allowed us, but that's not who God is. But we've got to understand that regardless of the cultural trends, we don't shrink back. We stand up for truth. Do I make myself clear? Because here's what I want to tell you. If you truly believe that God has changed something because of this century, then you better find scripture evidence that connects to context, that connects to another scripture, that affirms the very thing you claim God has changed his word on. Okay, I'll move on. That just was grinding my gears too. I guess I had two things that grind my gears. We are to be witnesses to the fact that Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How many think that's vague? That's not vague. He says, I'm the only doorway. He says, on the ark, there was one door, and unless you walked into that door, you didn't get on the ark. I'm it. So for this cause I was born, to point people to the doorway, to make sure that at the end of my life, the last breath I take, I can say, God, I didn't get it all right, but I sure tried, and I had fruit to prove it. Yes? Number two, bearing witness requires bearing fruit. You say, some of this seems similar to a few weeks ago. That's because it's the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life is to be productive for the cause of Christ. And someone goes, oh, that I don't know how I'll feel about that. Well, you'll feel very different when you get to heaven and realize it was worth it. God, I want to submit to who you are and your call on my life. I want to be true to the citizenry I hold from another place, not just here on earth. Bearing fruit requires effort and work. Colossians 3 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Woo! So what am I saying? When it comes to bearing fruit, talk is cheap. Look what it says in Proverbs 14. All hard work brings profits, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Yes, the scripture just said talk is cheap. Okay. Look, we should continue to improve our work for God so that that he can approve of our efforts. When it comes to bearing fruit, we need to show ourselves approved, not just in word and knowledge, but also in deed. Look, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. I don't want to be disapproved. I want to be approved, right? A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Do you realize you are handling the word of truth? Have you ever held a baby? How many know you like make sure that the right side's up? I don't want to mishandle a baby. That would look really weird if I mishandled a baby. Everyone in the room would be like, someone get that baby. Someone take care of that. Someone show that person how to handle that. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people mishandling the truth. And people that understand it go, will somebody tell them to shut up? Will somebody tell them to sit down? Will somebody please tell that person how to handle the truth? We're handling the truth. The scripture tells us this. We're handling the truth. And we need to make sure we're handling it correctly. What on earth am I doing for heaven's sake? That's always a question I ask myself. Heaven can't just be in my heart. Heaven can't just be my hope for my family. Heaven has to literally be touching earth to affect earth for the sake of heaven through me. Heaven, come down. God's like, well, act more like me. Heaven, rearrange this space. Okay, well then continue to speak my word over your house. Heaven, change my coworkers. God, help them. Okay, help them. I'm here in you. For this cause I was born. For this reason I came, to bear witness, to testify to the truth. Okay. What am I doing for the cause of Christ right now with what I do have? Everyone always says, man, God, if you would just open the floodgate on my life, I would certainly open the spigot. And God goes, no, your spigot's pretty tightly closed with what I already gave you. So you have to prove with what you do have. I don't work backwards. You know what's funny? I always think about it, going back to that cultural conversation, when people start to say, well, God didn't really mean, they actually have admitted they don't believe God is God and they've become God. Because they have now decided what God really meant and that they have the sovereignty to do so. How about we open the word and just say, ouch where it hurts, and yes where we want to say no, and at least admit that God is God so that I can submit to that. Okay. James 2:20 says, faith without deeds is useless. The scripture reveals that our works define our life too. Look what it says in Luke 6. It says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruits. You'll be recognized for your own works, for your own faith, for your own fruit. You're not riding coattails because your grandmama was an amazing prayer. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what I do is directly connected to the heart of who I am, not who I want to be. What I do is directly connected to the heart of who I am. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't strive to be better. That's not to say, God, change my heart. Of course, that should be our position. Hello? But we've got to consider, what am I doing? If I say Jesus is Lord, how does anyone know? Do I have any fruits? What I do is directly connected to the heart of who I am. I want to be seen as the centurion was viewed by his city. You know this story in Matthew 8? It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion who actually was working for the Roman guard came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? And the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go and let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. What's interesting about this story is if you dig further into what was going on around this story, is there were actually disciples and people in the city saying, Lord, you should bless this man because he helped build the temple. Lord, you should do this for him because what he's been bearing fruit for the works of God and advancing the kingdom. I want the reputation to precede me when it comes to God. I want him to be like, oh, what? I've been hearing you've been doing this for me. I want that reputation to precede me. That's bearing fruit, church. Number three, our reputation for the cause should precede us. That's what I just said, but now I'm giving you a point that says it again. The centurion was known for his fruits, and that reputation preceded him before God. I want my life's work to not be what I did, but rather what I stood for. Not just what I did, not just what I had, not just good. I want it to be known for the godly things I was able to accomplish in my world only by his help, yeah? And again, I go back to this fact. The centurion, just like Jesus wasn't defined by being a carpenter. The centurion at that moment, by all the people in the city, he wasn't defined by being a centurion and his authority on the battlefield. Those talking about him were talking about what he had done to advance the cause of God, the kingdom of heaven, the temple. That's a big deal. Okay. No greater love or cause than this, it says in John 15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. I was thinking about it. How many people in here, you have been praying for a neighbor or a friend to know Jesus? That should be every hand. And if you're not, that should be that should create some quiver. You should really consider, why am I not praying for those that I love that are going to hell right now? That's a hard conversation to have with yourself, but if we truly believe what we believe, then we believe the parts we don't like that actually include people we love. Right? And so when I start to think about this scripture, because obviously we know context, Jesus laid down his life for his friends literally. He literally died for us. I also look at it and go, what am I sacrificing for the sake of my friend and my family and my neighbor who doesn't know Jesus? Because there's no greater love than that, the word tells me. Are you staying with me, church? Okay, let me get to number four. Never lose sight of the why. Never lose sight of the why. First Peter tells me this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Why do we do all this? Why do we stretch? Why do we put our acts and our deeds where our mouth is? Why do we actually care about doing more than just loving God, but being like God on this earth? Why? I can't forget the reason why. The reason why is there's inheritance. There's an eternity in the balance. There's a grace that everyone can receive, but not everyone is receiving. As long as there are people on this earth that have not heard of the goodness of Jesus, then we're going to continue to see evil rule. We're going to continue to see darkness fall. We're going to continue to see the world go the direction it's going. I would like to see Jesus come back. Who in here goes, look, I'm not wanting to go to heaven now, but I'd love not to die. Do you realize the Bible says there'll be a generation that doesn't die because Jesus will come back before they got the chance? Anyone down with that? I'm kind of down with that. Funerals are expensive. Just saying, I'd be okay with us making sure people reach, you know, that the word of Jesus reaches people so they have an opportunity so that Jesus doesn't tarry any longer. Anyone with me? The rest of you, you're excited about death. Whoa. Look at this church's cause, its purpose, our energy will always be to reach people with the gospel of Christ, see them restored to their God call, and see them released to make a difference for Jesus in their world as witnesses of his goodness. Did you get that? That is why we exist. We exist to continue to expand God's reach, to continue to expand the goodness, the impact. We'll never forget our backyard. Do you realize, you know, I've had some people say, wow, we really invest, you know, outside a lot. What are we doing inside the community? And I say, well, we're doing a lot inside the community, but you do realize we have 100% boots on the ground in this community, and it's our impact that gets to make a difference here. Where we never get to go, we've got to send allied forces. We've got to send reinforcements to those who maybe are under more persecution than we are. But while we're here, stop asking what are we doing in our community. Start asking, what am I doing in my community? We will do whatever it takes to reach your family, your neighbors, your co-workers, and those we have never met around the world for the sake of Christ. But my question is, what are you doing to do that? How are you doing that? I'm blown away by the opportunities that God continues to open. I was able to sit with our board of directors and elders just yesterday and talk to them about how God seems to be opening up a doorway for what's happening right now, this online service to be able to go throughout Asia. Over 182 countries has just been offered to us. And for the businessman that goes, that's great, but for how much? let me tell you for free, they want what's going on here to go there. That's incredibly humbling, but it's an answer to prayer, because I've been saying, God, I want to have a further impact. I want our church to have further reach without having to create any more strain. Do you realize we already have the cameras running? We already have the production team switching. We already have the recording coming. We just have the ability to take what we're already doing and furthering our impact and our reach. We're in the business of depopulating hell by populating heaven. That's what our cause is. That's what it's for. We will do whatever it takes to lift up the name of Jesus, because there is no other name that brings salvation. Come on, you know it. Acts 4, let's sing it together. No, come on. Christ is the stone that was put aside by you workmen. What is he saying? He's talking to the Jewish people here. He's saying, look, this is the one you rejected. The one that we were saying was Christ, you rejected him. But guess what? He has become the most important stone in the building. There is no way to be saved for the punishment of sin through anyone else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we can be saved. You say it again. There is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. Well, if that's the truth, then we better be doing more to project and push forward what God is doing through the name of Jesus. Not just from good vibes. Good vibes will still send you to hell. Wow, that was unpopular. But it's true. And wherever the scripture draws a line in the sand, I'll stand where the line is. I'll hold the line. We will not shrink back from truth. And maybe that's why God's opening these doors. Maybe that's why he's furthering our reach and our impact. Maybe it's because our church won't shrink back. We won't shrink back from the truth. We won't shrink back from generosity. We won't shrink back from the cause that is Christ. For this cause we were born, church. For this cause we were born, to testify to the truth of the Son of God, to be his witnesses and to reach our world with his love.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.